Okay, Brishus, my father. Brishus, Mr. Stern. Tonight's year is dedicated for a refuah shalema for Chaim Yisachar, Ben Chaim Mushkit, and Binyamin Ben Blanca, Besoch Shar Chol Yisrael. Just want to start with some words of Akaras HaTov. Since it's since it is the last year of the season, I want to just thank a few people who make this year possible. First, of course, Vinay Shur for opening their doors in a very warm way. We used to, this year, started off as a small chabur that was held in someone's home, and Baruch Hashem, it continues to grow. I want to thank, of course, Rabbi Przanski and Henry Orlinsky, who helped organize it, and of course, the whole B'nai Yeshua and Kehila for allowing us to come here every week to learn together. And of course, I thank everyone who comes, those of you who come every week, those of you who come sometimes, those of you who listen afterwards. It's a very big chizik for me to know that people are interested in learning together, and it gives me the strength to continue preparing this year. Also want to say Seischem L'Shalom to those seniors who are graduating high school. A lot of our Mayanot friends are not here tonight. But in absentia, we thank them, and obviously the TABC guys and other yeshivas, people who make the effort to come. We hope you'll continue to listen from abroad. So tonight's topic is the sweetness and joy that a Jew is supposed to feel when he or she studies Torah. And of course, we start with the Parsha. Parshas Naso, most years Parshas Naso is read immediately after Shavuos. Happens to be that this year we were zocha to squeeze Naso in before Shavuos, but either way it's always read this time of year. And it's interesting, you think about, whether it's before Shavuos, after Shavuos, it's very appropriate, it makes a lot of sense that Naso, of all Parshas, is studied this time of year. Why is that so? First of all, Naso is the longest Parsha of the Torah. 176 psukim in all. Right, 176 we know is a very significant number. Tehillim, Parak Kuf Yotes, is also 176 psukim, the longest Parak of Tehillim in all of Sefer Tehillim. Gemara Bava Basra, 176 Daf, the longest Masechta in Shas. Right, so 176 represents a tremendous expansion in the realm of Torah. The largest Parsha, the largest Parak of Tehillim, and the largest Masechta in Shas. And Rav Moshe Wolfson points out in the Zemunas Yitecha, in this week's Parsha, on page 12, he says, what's the significance of this number? I mean, it's interesting how it appears in these different places, but what lies behind this number, 176? He says, if you take the 22 osios of the Aleph Beis, which is the backbone of Torah, the backbone of the Bria, the whole world was built with the 22 letters of the Torah, and you max it out. What does it mean to max it out? To the point that it's l'malam and ateva. We know the number 7 represents everything within the natural order of things. The number 8 is l'malam and ateva. That's a concept found in the Maharal in many places. So the idea is if I take the 22 letters of the Torah and I multiply them by 8, I max them out to their maximum potential, I come to the number 176. So it represents tremendous, tremendous expansion in Torah. Torah maxed out, so to speak, to its capacity. But what's interesting is it's not only the Parsha that we find this. It's not only the Kriyas HaTorah that we read this Shabbos where we find the Torah in this just astronomical numbers, right? Numbers that are not found in other Parshios. If you look in source number 1, the Chiddush HaRim points out a very fascinating thing. He says, HaMedrash Marech Yoser Mikol Makom, the Chiddush HaRim in his Sefer HaZchus, he says, the Medrash on Naso is also longer than all other Midrashim. And he goes on, V'Zohar HaKadosh HaIdra, in the section of the Zohar on this week's Parsha, it's also longer than any other section. V'Laman, the question is why? Why all of a sudden is there this tremendous expansion in Torah? And it's obvious, because we read it right around Shavuos. Nir lefisha b'chol shana ha-parsha b'chag Shavuos shenitna lanu Torah. We read this parsha either right before Shavuos or right after Shavuos. U'mischadish b'tov Hashem yisparach nesinas ha-Torah al kol ha-shana. So Hashem is pouring down the Torah at this time and we're taking it in immediately. This is the Torah that's going to carry us throughout the year. It's going to expand from this point, from this starting point. Uvenekuda shenikris reishis, talei kol masha acharka. From this starting point, everything that will emanate in the future begins. Va'amedrish hu shedorish v'chokir haTorah. The medrish represents the expansion of drash of the Torah. Va'zohar hakadosh meyer or haTorah. Va'omer tachazi. The Zohar represents the pnimius of the Torah, the inner light of the Torah, which is also in a state of tremendous expansion. So as Hashem is giving us in this very generous fashion, we have the ability to darshan like never before, tremendous amounts of medrash, gama or meir biyoser. And the Zohar is able to also to give off its light in this very unbelievable sort of way. So it makes a lot of sense that we read Parshas Naso this time of year. But I always like to point out, somewhat jokingly, but I think it's somewhat of a serious part. And that is, we sort of take a test. Again, this year we read Naso before Shavuos, but most years we read it right after Shavuos. And we come on Shavuos night and we say, Hashem, you know what? We're really ready to be mekabel the Torah. We want the Torah. We want to dedicate ourselves to the Torah. So Hashem says, fine. You want the Torah so badly? You claim to want the Torah so badly? So take a test. What's the test? I'm going to give you a parsha that's going to be a little more challenging than usual. I'm going to ask to see, can you max yourself out with Torah? 176 psukim. Let's see how you handle it. And not only that, says Hashem, I'm going to intentionally make it very repetitive to see how much you really enjoy it. You know, if the topic was so interesting, okay, maybe we could, right? But I'm going to make it repetitive over and over and over, and we'll see. How much did you really mean it on Shavuos when you said, I'm ready to be mekabel the Torah? You know, in the biography of the Vilna Gaon, the article biography of the Vilna Gaon, on page 146, for those who like to take the notes precisely. So it tells, how did a person become a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon? What was the test to get into the Vilna Gaon's base medrash? What was the entrance exam? So one would come and sit with the Vilna Gaon, and he would pick a sugya, and he would test you on it over, and you had to learn it with him, again, from top to bottom, and when you finished it, he would start again. Okay, let's learn it again. And you have to learn it again, and again, and again, and each time you have to learn it with simcha, you have to enjoy it more every time, which is the opposite of how most of us respond. You know, I've heard this already, why do I need to review this again? You have to learn it again, and each time you have to understand it better, and you have to take more pleasure in it. That was the test to get into the Vilna Gaon's base medrash. Not a simple test at all. So they tell about one of his talmidim, Rav Zalman of Volozhin, the brother of Rav Chaim of Volozhin, who was a tremendous Gaon, a very holy Jew. So there's a Hebrew biography of the life of Rav Zalman of Volozhin, written by someone who knew him from Vilna. It's called Toldos Adam. He was a super genius, mamish a super Gaon. And in the second parak, it tells us a little bit, just to give you a sense of who this man was. They say, by the way, that if he had 2,000 years, he still wouldn't have reached even a percentage of his teacher, the Vilna Gaon, to give you a sense of what the Gaon was. But Rav Zalman was a tremendous Gaon, and at the age of 24, this is what's recorded in the second parak of Toldos Adam. It says, he knew Baal Peh, but at the age of 24, he knew Tanakh with three Targumim. He knew Shas Bavli, Shas Yerushalmi. He knew the Sifra, the Sifrei, the Mechilta, the Rif, the Rambam, the Tor, the Yalkut Shimoni, the Seder Olam, the Zohar, and the Tikkunim. And the author of this Sefer, Rav Yecheskel Feivel of Vilna, who knew Rav Zalman of Volozhin, he said, I know you're going to say that I'm exaggerating. Like people, you know, you write biographies, right? People are sometimes critical of biographies because, you know, we tend to exaggerate a little bit. Everyone was such a genius from the youngest of age. They say Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's biography is very realistic. You know, that's a if you want to read a biography of someone who you can maybe strive to be like, so read Rabbi Yaakov's biography. That's what they say. I mean, he was also a genius from a young age. So Rabbi Yecheskel Feivel of Vilna writes, he says, I know you're going to say I'm exaggerating, but I'm telling you, I sat with Rav Zalman of Volozhin. I'm saying this word for word as a fact. This is true. 100% true. He knew all of these things word for word, Baal Peh. He was a tremendous genius. And you go a few chapters later in this biography, you go to Perek Tes, and you find the following. That one time, Rav Zalman was seen by another person in Vilna, Rav Leib ben Rav Ber of Vilna. He was pacing back and forth in the Beis Medrash, reciting one line of Torah Baal Peh. One line, reviewing it over and over and over. I don't know if it was a pasuk or a chazal, but he was saying it over. And this Jew from Vilna was watching, and he couldn't believe it. I mean, it was going on and on and on. You know, 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, 100 times. When he finished, he goes over to him and he says, Rav Zalman, I'm not going to let you leave until you tell me the truth. How many times you reviewed that statement? And Rav Zalman tried to, says, I'm going to hold on to you. I'm not going to let you leave until you tell me the truth. How many times did you just chazer that statement? And, you know, and each time was very intense with a smile on his face. So he says 250 times. This was a person who knew it all about Baal Peh. He didn't, you know, what more is there for him to learn? And yet he understood that, you know, this is the test that we take after Shavuos. If I really love Torah, so I'm prepared to review it again and again, and even if it sounds like it's the same thing, I've heard these psukim already, right? You go over it again and again and again. So that's the test that we're taking after Shavuos. We said on Shavuos, Hashem, we want to learn in your yeshiva. We want to come learn by you, right? The Malami Torah La'amu Yisrael. We want to be in the advanced Gemara Shir with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the advanced track, the Masmidim track. And Hashem says, fine, so let's see. I'll give you Parshas Naso, and let's see how you handle it. Do you really love every single word of it? Is it really so exciting for you? And of course, the goal, whether it's in the Rabbona Shalom's yeshiva, or whether it's in the Vilna Gaon's yeshiva, it's not just about, can I get through it? It's about doing it b'simcha. That was the Chiddush. These people reviewed it over and over and over. To get into the Graz Yeshiva, it wasn't just to sit there with him for hours, but to really enjoy it more and more every single time. The Zohar has a statement in source number 2 in this week's Parsha. The Zohar says, on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Uvalayla shiro imi, vitzarich l'shor ulenagin bechedva bechamra da'araisa. A person needs to sing and rejoice bechedva with a simcha in the chamra da'araisa, in the wine of Torah. A person has to have a simcha when he learns. That's a critical component of Kabbalah Satorah. So I remember once, I cited in one of the shirim that I was giving, a sefer Teshuvos Chaim. Tzuros Chaim is an early Hasidic work of Gedalia of Linitz. So one of my friends who was at the shiur at the time really liked the Vard I said, and he went out to buy the Sefer. If you knew who this friend was, that's not such a chiddush. Tell him anything, he goes out and buys the Sefer. So he goes to the store, and he calls me up and he says, okay, so I bought the Tzuros Chaim, but I can't find the Vard. So I say, well, yeah, I'll tell you exactly where it is, but maybe you have a different edition. Turns out, I had quoted the Sefer, Teshuos with an Aleph Chaim, Teshuos Chaim. Right? The word Teshuos fell with an Aleph. He went out and bought a Sefer called Teshuos Chaim from Lashon of Yeshua. The Sefer Teshuos Chaim, the Hasidic work from Gedalia of Linitz, it's based on the pasuk in Zechariah, which says Teshuos Chaim, which means cheers of grace. Right? And he went out and bought Teshuos Chaim, a Yeshua of grace. Okay, it was a different Sefer. But he tells me it's still a pretty good Sefer. He says in the back of the Sefer there's a kuntres, and there's a very funny printing error. I said, what is it? He says, every page in this kuntres in the back of the Sefer ends with every line ends with an exclamation point. Maybe multiple exclamation points. Every line. You know, so whether it's the punchline of the piece or whether it's just a line in the middle of this piece, exclamation point at the end of the line. And I said, that's a gevaldike mussar. That's what learning's supposed to be. Does it matter what I'm learning? Shouldn't every line end with an exclamation point? So you're sitting there and you're reading the Torah and you come again to the famous pasuk, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe. That pasuk appears 70 times in the Torah. I've heard this already, right? But there's supposed to be a simcha. It should have an exclamation point at the end of it. It's not any less exciting than, you know, when you get to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's an amazing thing. Right? What did the Zohar say? A person has to rejoice bechedva bechamra d'oraisa, with the wine of the Torah, with the yayin of the Torah. Yayin is gematria 70. That pasuk appears, that the most basic pasuk in the Torah that we all know, you know, a million times over, 70 times over. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Appears 70 times. So the Zohar said, you have to rejoice with those 70, you know, the most boring pasuk of the Torah that you've heard a million times. You have to rejoice with that as well. Every single line has to have an exclamation point at the end of it. To feel a deep, a pnimius type of simcha with every single letter and every single word of Torah. Rabbi Reisman tells the story. I went a couple months ago and Rabbi Reisman made a siyam in his Motzei Shabbos Navi Shir. So he made a siyam on Sefer Yirmiyah. And they'd been learning it for a long time. There were 234 shiurim in all, including the siyam. It's a long time. They were learning it for many, many years. So I went to the siyam. I went with my brother of David. And it was great. It was unbelievable. They had this gala siyam in Brooklyn. Probably about 1,000 people there. My brother Josh was in Israel at the time, so he appointed me as his shliach to go. So shluch shalom kamosos, I got to be Josh Weinberg for the night. That was also very, I'm sure many of us would like to experience that. Added simcha. Right? Why did Rav Reisman pick to learn Yirmiyahu? They had finished learning Malachim beforehand. They clearly weren't going in the order. You know, I open up a Tanakh, Yirmiyahu doesn't come after Malachim. How did he end up learning Yirmiyahu? You know, for so many years. Rav Palm had recommended it to him. Rav Palm is right. Rav Palm, they say, one of his favorite svarim was Sefer Yirmiyahu. Why was Sefer Yirmiyahu one of Rav Palm's favorite svarim, so they say, in Nach? So Rav Reisman once asked Rav Palm, he said, you know, how did you develop a love for Tanakh? So Rav Palm says, I'll tell you, when I was 11 years old, my father left to America. My family wouldn't come for another few years. But, you know, my father went, he went ahead of us, and he took most of his svarim with us. He happened to have left a copy of Sefer Yirmiyahu with the commentary of the Malbim, which had recently been printed. So, I picked it up and I started to learn. And I noticed that on the top of every single page, on the top of every single page of this edition of Sefer Yirmiyahu, it said, Liber Yirmiyahu. Liber Yirmiyahu on the top. Now in Yiddish, Liber Yirmiyahu means the beloved Yirmiyahu. So I said, wow, you know, it's beautiful. Right? I can feel, he said, Rav Palm says, as he was learning it as a young boy, he could feel the love of the Navi Yirmiyahu on every page. Even when he's rebuking Klal Yisrael, when he's consoling Klal Yisrael, there's just this tremendous love, this concern for Klal Yisrael. It's beautiful. He says he fell in love with it. Later he realized that Liber in Latin means the book of. And the entire set of Tanakh, Liber Yoshua, Liber Shoftim, every single book of the Tanakh was Liber. But Rav Palm said, you know, it was a good mistake. I fell in love. I thought it meant, right, to love. Right? That's the exclamation point at the end of every page. That a person should fall in love with all areas of Torah. And that's, again, that's the ideal Torah experience. When we get a pleasure from it, when there's a simcha, it's the greatest gift that mankind has ever been given, and we should really relate to it in that way. So that's the connection to Parshas Naso. The many psukim of Naso, the Zohar about the simcha we should feel when studying Torah. Okay, now let's connect to Pirkei Avos, as we've been trying to do the last couple weeks. And the truth is, this week, the sixth week of Pirkei Avos, is not really Pirkei Avos. Right, we know the Perek Kinyan Torah is an added-on Perek. It's brisos that talk about the significance of Torah. We always study it right before, on the Shabbos, right before Shavuos. But it's certainly relevant. It's attached to Pirkei Avos, so we study it this time of year. So if you look in this week's Pirkei Avos, in source number 3, what do you find? A beautiful description of how one comes to acquire Torah. It says, Gedol l'Torah yoser min ha-kahuno min ha-malchus. Torah is greater than kahuna, it's greater than malchus. Sha'amalchus niknes b'shloshim milos. Malchus, royalty, is acquired with 30 traits. Right? Who's the prime example of Malchus? It's Yehuda. Yehuda's gematria 30. A melech has 30 traits, so to speak. Kahuna be'esrim v'arba. A kohen is endowed with 24 unique traits or privileges. Va'torah nikneis ba'arbaim u'shmona dvar. Torah is acquired with 48 beautiful different characteristics. B'talmud, b'shmias ha'ozin, b'arichas ha'fasayim, b'vinas ha'leib, b'sichlas ha'leib, b'eima b'yir ba'anava b'simcha. One of the traits, depending on your list, either the 8th or the 9th, is the midah of simcha. Torah is acquired with simcha. Not only that it's acquired best of simcha, the only way to acquire it is if it's acquired with simcha. So practically, why is that so? See, look at the Mefarshim on that Mishnah, source number 4. The Medrash Shmuel says, "Shein eino lomi b'simcha, v'atorah hi alav l'torach, sof sof yifrosh min alimud." Something I tell all the time to people who I'm learning with, who I'm trying to inspire, that if the Torah is not enjoyable to you, if it's a torach, if it's a burden, sof sof, what's the end going to be? Yifrosh min alimud. How long can you endure like that? I'm always impressed by the people who look like they're so bored and they're still learning. And it's an amazing thing. How do you stay in the game for so long? If you're not getting any pleasure of it, by that point, I probably would have given up. Right? Ve'yila l'shav, I'm wasting my time, you'll say. Amnam kasher yilmad b'simcha, when a person studies and he enjoys it, uv'shirim, oz ba'avasa yishke tamid, he becomes intoxicated with love. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. The Yerushalmi in Bracha says on that pasuk that one time Rish Lakish was walking, and he was thinking Torah, and he got so lost in his Torah thoughts that he walked past Tchum Shabbos, which obviously is wrong. But the Medrash of the Yerushalmi in Brachos in the 5th parak says about him, it's an example of a person who's intoxicated with Torah. He was literally drunk on Torah. He lost sight of where he was. He walked past the Tchum. Va'Torah va'simcha achim him. Torah and simcha are brothers. Well, yisparadu, they don't separate from each other. Torah without simcha is not Torah. And simcha without Torah is not simcha. Ki pekudei Hashem yishar misamchei lev. Because the Torah makes a person's heart rejoice. That's the pasuk that the Gemara quotes in Tanis Daf Lamed of an Aleph. To teach us that you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. And Avil can't learn Torah because Torah makes you happy. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be enjoyable. And he goes on and adds a further point. This is what Hashem plays with. This is Hashem's toy, so to speak. Like the pasuk says in Mishlei, it's his schok. It's what Hashem has a good time with. He plays with it. The kevan sheschok asala elokim. If this is what Hashem chooses to play with, ain ashor b'makom atzus el b'makom simcha. If this is what makes Hashem happy, the only way for you to acquire it is if it makes you happy as well. And Rav Chaim of Elazner expressing a similar idea and encouraging us further the advantages of learning with simcha. He says b'simcha in source number 5 in his parash on Pirkei Avos Ruach Chaim. Ki alomid b'simcha b'sha achas yoser harbe b'masha yilmod b'kama shos b'atzus. A person in 1 hour of learning with simcha can accomplish infinitely more than he can accomplish in the time that he's learning with sadness. V'gam ki Torah hi shashuim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same idea as Medrash Shmuel. Torah is Hashem's toy. It's fun. It's enjoyable. Sarach sheyismach v'davar gadol kazeh. So a person needs to have simcha. It's an integral part of the learning process. Right? Or maybe not. Again, maybe it could just be bonus points. Maybe, again, learning without simcha is still learning. A lot of people learn without simcha. Right? Maybe it's just, again, it's an added milah. Is it really an integral part of the Limud Torah process? The Panovitcher Rav used to offer, he would speak every year on Yom Kippur by Kol Nidre. And he would very often tell the following story in the Yeshiva and Panovitch. Panovitcher Rav would say that the Chidushei Arim, who was the first Ger Rebbe, his grandson was the Sfas Emes. Right? Sfas Emes' own father had passed away at a young age. So the Chidushei Arim was raising the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes was a tremendous masid. And he used to have to yell at him, you have to sleep. He never slept. He used to yell at him, it's not healthy what you're doing. A person has to sleep a normal night's sleep. And the Sfas Emes was always, even from a very young age, he was always finding ways to sneak out and learn. So one time the Chidushei Arim woke up in the middle of the night and he goes to check the Sfas Emes, and of course he's not in his bed. And he's all upset, so to speak. And he goes to look for him. He walks into his study, his base medrash, and he sees the Sfas Emes standing on a ladder. Next to the Aron Asfarim, next to the bookshelf, he has a sefer in his hand, and he's sleeping on the ladder. Standing on the ladder, he's sleeping on the ladder. So Chidushei Arim turns to him, and right? Sfas Emes stirs from his sleep. He says, I told you, you have to sleep properly. The Sfas Emes says, I know, believe me, you tell me this all the time, I understand that. He says, but what do you want from me? It's so sweet, how can I go to sleep? How can I put myself to sleep? The pleasure, the enjoyment of Torah is so exciting, I can't fall asleep. How am I supposed to put myself into bed? So I happened to fall asleep on this ladder for a few minutes. Thank you, thanks for waking me up and get back to my learning. It reminds me of a statement I saw once in the, say from the Tosha Rebbe, the Avodas Avoda. He says the mother, I believe it was the mother of the Hafla and Rav Shmelko of Nicholsburg, right? Two famous famous brothers. So their mother used to say, my two sons are no good. Right? One of them never benches, and one of them never says hamapil. What was the pshat? Right? One of them never ate a normal meal, and one of them never slept in a bed. So he never said, this was the the chisronos of her children. And one never said hamapil, and one never... That was the sfas emes. Right? So this is the message that the Panovitcher Rav used to share on Kol Nidre. On the night of Yom Kippur, what's his message? Torah has to be sweet. That's the most important message I can give you on the most important night, right? And arguably one of the most important moments of the year, my message is that Torah has to be sweet. Okay, so we could argue, you know what, maybe it's just a Ger Rebbe thing. It's a Sfas Emes thing. I saw in the biography of the Leib Simcha, the fifth Ger Rebbe, it brings down a story that someone once came to the Leib Simcha with a kvittel, and he wrote down all the spiritual aspirations that he had. He wrote down a whole list of things. So the Leib Simcha said to him, the fifth Ger Rebbe said, you forgot Simcha. He says, you need Simcha on your list. Simcha is the key to growing. If you want to grow spiritually, how can you not put Simcha on your list? So he says, okay, it's a good point. He says, no, it's more than a good point. That's the point. And he goes and he takes out a Sfas Emes Likutim on Shabbos Sukkos, and he opens it up and he shows him a piece in Sfas Emes where it says that Simcha is the key component to growing in Torah. And he told this fellow, he says, this is the essence of all of the teachings of the Sfas Emes. Simcha. So you could argue, okay, so this is a Sfas Emes thing, this is a Ger thing, this is not for all of Klal Yisrael. Right? It's an added bonus if a person wants to do it. If you want to be a Ger Chassid, you have to learn the Simcha. But it's not necessarily who says that it's for who says it's for everyone. Ah, the Panovitcher Rav spoke about on Yom Kippur. Okay, but who says so? It's for Panovitch. It's for Ger. And who says it's for Klal Yisrael? So the truth is, we know that Pirkei Avos is not just nice ideas. It's halachos. The very famous Rav Avadmi Bar Tanura in the first parak, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Why are you telling me this here? Why introduce Pirkei Avos that Moshe got the Torah and it's passed down to teach us that this is Torah Misinai. These are halachos. These are not nice ideas. The halacha is, when the Mishnah says in our parak, this Shabbos, that there's one of the kinyanim of Torah is Simcha, that's a halacha. It's a halacha in Talmud Torah. A person has an obligation to learn that way. And I'll bring you a proof. I'll bring you some proofs from the halacha. If you look in Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in source number 6, the Emes LeYaakov, a very small kuntras he has, they wrote up some of his insights into Pirkei Avos. It's a very small pamphlet, but it's full of gems. So he says on the Mishnah, in the first parak, that Veshosa Bitsames Devrayim, drink the words of Torah thirstily. Perish, Shitzarech Adam Leyanos Mi Limana Torah B'diyuk, Kemosha Nene Adam, Shedavka Lishono Lecheiko Machmas Atzama. When a person drinks Torah, he should drink it like a person who just played a long game of basketball. He's so thirsty, right? He's been traveling in a desert. He finally comes to water, and he drinks it with such an excitement. Visof Sof Matzah Makur Mayim Chaim Lashivas Nafsho. Drink the Torah thirstily. V'harei az hu shoses ha-mayim b'sipuk v'cheshe gadol. K'mo kein tzarech lios limatorah. That's what Torah is supposed to be like. The same way you drink that water with such an excitement, right? It literally revives your entire spirit. That's what Torah should be like. And the truth is, this mashal, comparing Torah to drinking water, is very good. The Chidah writes, in a Sefer Rosh David, in Parshas Ba'alosa, he says, you could argue that maybe we shouldn't make a bracha on the Torah at all. Maybe there should be no bracha birchas ha-Torah. Why? What would be the argument? What would be the case? So he says, if you think about it, we were forced into taking the Torah. And the Ramah Paskins in Simen Reish Dalet, in Orach Haim Simen Reish Dalet, it's not on the sheets for those who are looking, sorry. The Ramah Paskins in Orach Haim Simen Reish Dalet, that if a person is forced to consume something against his will, he doesn't make a bracha on it. So we were forced to take the Torah, so maybe we shouldn't make a bracha on it. It's an interesting case. The Magid of Ram comes along and says, that's not true. He says the Shulchan Aruch would disagree with that Pesach of the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch would say, even if you're forced into it, if you enjoy it, you make a bracha on it. So the Chidah says, if you want to make Birchas HaTorah, the halacha is, we were forced into it, so maybe we shouldn't make a bracha. The heter to make Birchas HaTorah is what? Is if you're enjoying it. Because then you're nana from it. If you enjoy it, you can make a bracha on it. And that's why Torah is compared to water, the halacha by water. If a person drinks water, and he's not thirsty, if in the middle of giving this year I'm in the mood to wet my throat, I'm not thirsty per se, but I have something, an itch in my throat, and someone brought me a glass of water, so I could drink it without a bracha. You only make a bracha, the Mishnah says in brachos, if you're thirsty for ashosa mayim litzomo. So it's the same thing with Torah. I'm only eligible to make the bracha on Torah, to access Torah in the ideal way, if I'm nana from it, if I enjoy it. So then Rav Yaakov goes on and says an amazing thing, a beautiful chiddush lahalacha. Look what he says. He quotes the Rashi in Vayikra that says, you know, a person's supposed to have the following attitude. A person should say, I wish I could eat treif. Right? When a commercial comes on a TV, if you own a TV, or a commercial on the radio, if you own a radio, right? Or you see an ad in the newspaper, if you read the newspaper, and it's you know, for a you know, some Goyish steakhouse, and you see that huge fat steak, but you've never seen anything like that in a Jewish steakhouse. Right? And only in, you know, only in the secular world do they have those types of steaks. So you're looking at this steak and you're drooling, and you say, oh, it's not right, you know, I'm a Yid, I shouldn't be drooling over this steak. Right? So Rashi quotes the Medrash that no, you're supposed to drool over that steak. You're supposed to say, I wish I could eat that steak, but what can I do? The Rabbanu Shalom says, I can't eat the steak. So Rav Yaakov says, maybe we should say the same thing about Torah. Maybe I should say, I wish I didn't have the burden of learning Torah, but what can I do? Rabbanu Shalom wants me to learn. I should learn with that sense of heaviness, you know, what can I do? This is the will of my Father in heaven, I have to study the Torah. But who says I'm supposed to like it? Rav Yaakov says, it's not true. He says, Torah, you're supposed to like it. It's the opposite of that rule. You're supposed to enjoy every second of it. And he brings a proof from the halacha. Look at his proof. All right, continuing in the fourth line. V'zeu gam ha'shetiknu ad she'kneses ha'gedola b'birchas ha'torah. What's part of the bracha of birchas ha'torah? What do we say? V'arev na Hashem Elokeinu es divrei sarascha b'finu. Hashem, please make the Torah sweet in our mouth. If it's part of the bracha, says Rav Yaakov, that means it's part of the mitzvah. What's his proof? He says, look at the Gemara in Shabbos by Ner Chanukah. The Gemara is trying to figure out, is hadlaka osa mitzvah, is the lighting of the menorah the mitzvah, or is putting the menorah in its spot the mitzvah? How does the Gemara solve that question? To understand the essence of the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, the Gemara solves it by looking at the bracha. The bracha is lahadlik, so the essence of the mitzvah is hadlaka osa mitzvah. Says Rav Yaakov, if Chazal, if the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, put into the text of Birchas HaTorah that it's supposed to be sweet, that means it's an integral part of the mitzvah. Lahalacha, it has to be part of the mitzvah. And the same thing is true by davening. We know anything that's found in the text of the davening reveals the integral, you know, the essence of a particular mitzvah or a particular chag. So what do we say all the time in davening? V'nasiach b'chukecha v'nismach b'divrei torasecha. Right? The simcha is an integral part of the Lima Torah process. And that's how it's recorded in the halacha. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch in source 7 and 8, the Shulchan Aruch says, yes, if you're a God-fearing person, you should take out time every night to cry over the Mikdash. Roy lechol yari shemayim, source number 7, sheim meitzer v'doeg al chorban beis hamikdash. A God-fearing person should sit up at night crying over the beis hamikdash. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah, the one who we follow, the halacha, the one who guides us through life, and he says, aval b'torah v'tfila, yiyah b'simcha. The halacha is that your Torah has to be b'simcha. You can't let your sadness in your own personal life, and even in a spiritual life, even for the beis hamikdash, you can't let your own feelings get in the way. So this is the halacha, and we know if it's in halacha, it's for everyone. It's not for the Sfas Emes, it's not for the Chiddush Arim, it's not for the Leib Simcha, it's not for the Panim Tzurav. It's for all of Klal Yisrael. The halacha is that we have to learn with Simcha. So for some people, it's very easy. Anyone who's ever seen Rav Goldich, right? Have you ever seen him give a shir? If you ever just seen him living his life, he has a smile on his face. He's tamid b'simcha, right? The second he starts to talk Torah, you see his face just, you know, and he makes everyone else in the audience, their face responds. So for some tzaddikim, it's very easy, they always have it. But how does an average person, a regular person who doesn't always taste the sweetness in Torah, how do we tap into it? We daven for it every day. V'harevna, we beg Hashem for it. So how do we tap into it? So I think part of the answer is, you know, it's an eitzah that seems a little bit backwards, right? A funny kind of way to come to simcha, because we're used to the American definition of simcha. The American definition of simcha is that if I want to have fun, if I want to have pleasure, which is what we're trying to extract from the Torah, so that means it has to be easy, right? Secular life, you know, everything's about making things more easy. Technology is all about making things more easy. The whole world revolves around how can I have more free time, more leisure time, more relaxing, right? Less work and more fun. That's how we define fun. So if you're going to tell me that Torah is hard work, by definition, it's not fun. It's just not. It's not pleasurable. It can't be pleasurable. So what do? So we spend time, we try to convince ourselves. Okay, so Torah is not fun. But again, we'll take that approach. It's good for me. It's the right thing to do. I'll get a big portion of Olam Haba. I may not enjoy it right now. I may not be interested in it right now, but in the next world, it'll be great. Comes along the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and he says, it's not true. Torah is fun in this world. Right? A Jewish perspective is that Torah is a good time right here and right now. In source number 9 and 10, the Pasuk tells us in Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lefnecha Mayom Bracha Uklala. You choose a life of bracha or klal, there's nothing in between. Es ha-bracha, asher tishmav. The bracha, how do you tap into the bracha? If you listen to the mitzvos. So we think that means, okay, if I suffer, if I'm willing to suffer, right, the heavy yoke, the uncomfortable burden of Torah, so Allah said, love, I'll be able to have a good time. I'll party in the next world. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, it's not true. The bracha is asher tishmav. Listening to the Torah is the reward. He says beautifully, take a look. Amru es, lahayir kimilvada bracha hamuseges b'derech Hashem, od lo ima yiyud hatov. There's the bracha to come in the world to come, yes, but there's the tov that you experience right now. Right? The pleasure that you get from the mitzvahs right now. V'hu asher tishmo. Look what he says, beautiful, where it's bolded. Ki ashmiya b'torah hu tanug mufla u'mechaya nefesh. The pleasure of Torah is the greatest pleasure. It gives life, it breathes life into your soul, like it says in Yeshayah, shimu v'techi nafshechem. Listen and you'll be revived. V'hamargish b'tama Torah, if you taste the sweetness of Torah, tisichenu nafsho, ki alav l'shalim gemul tov l'matan matana tov amuflas. You're going to want to respond, you're going to want to pay back the one who gave it to you. Forget, he says at the end, I'm going to ask Hashem to pay me for this. It's absurd. You're asking, right? Someone comes to you and gives you money, and you say, you know, I'm going to charge you to give me the money. That's ridiculous. I'm doing you a favor. How can you charge me for helping you? I think that's the pshat. When we say, ki lekach tov nasati lechem. It's a lekach. You should have to buy it off me, but nasati, I'm giving it to you for free. How dare you not be thankful? How dare you not enjoy it? It's the greatest gift in the world. We should be paying HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. And the Or HaChaim throughout his Sefer, there's many more examples. I'll just give you one more example. Beautiful Lishonos he has to teach us how, you know, you see how a tzaddik appreciated the Torah. He says in the Pasuk, V'samachta b'chol atov, asher nasan lecha, Hashem elokacha. Says the Or HaChaim, you know what lecha means? Lecha means you and others lost out on it. V'amar lecha lishlol zulaso, you to the exclusion of others. Lo malach, the malachim didn't get it. Lo saraf, the angels didn't get it. They were not zochet to this. Gam yirmos b'mayim b'chol hatov. You know what it means? I'm going to give you v'samachta b'chol hatov. Says the Gemara, al Torah. Right? The chol hatov refers to the Torah. Ein tov al Torah. Look where it's bolded. Shem hayu b'nei adam argishim b'mesikus v'arivus tov. If you would taste the goodness of the Torah, he says, hayu mishtagim u'mislatim achara. You'd be running like a madman, like a crazy person after it. V'lo yechsha v'eneya m'lo olam kesef izav. All the money in the world, all the kesef and the zav would be worthless to you. Nothing else would impress you other than the Torah. But you have to be able to extract the sweetness. It's very hard for us to extract that sweetness. Again, tzaddikim, they had no problem with this. Rav Baruch Ber was once giving a shir. Rav Baruch Ber was giving a shir and he quoted a Rashba. And he said, oh, this Rashba is malei tam, it's full of flavor. And then he stopped himself. He said, hold on, it's Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul, we have to be more careful how we speak. Every single word of Torah is full of flavor. It's not just this Rashba. Every letter of Torah is full of flavor, the sweetest thing in the world. Right? And they went like this, you know, we made the sweetest thing in the world, Torah. So why aren't we tasting it? Right? That's the question. So what is it? Why are there so many times in our life where I'm learning, but I'm not tasting the sweetness of the Torah? We once told a mashal, I think, that I'd heard from my brother about from Ritzvi Yehuda Cook. Ritzvi Yehuda Cook gave the following mashal to explain why sometimes we're not connecting to the Torah. He says there was this beautiful girl. She was very attractive and she had wonderful characteristics, a beautiful personality, a very fine person. And all the young men of the town were very interested in going out with her, marrying her. And this one fellow who was really not a very fine person at all, somehow was able to get a date with her. And all his friends were very jealous. How did you get a date with this girl? You of all people. You know, they thought you're a Baal Gaiva. You know, why would she choose someone like you? Right? What was the truth behind the story? Happens to be this girl's parents were very friendly with this young fellow's parents. And they were pressuring the girl, you know, oh, they're such the Schwartzes, they're such a nice family, you should go out with your son. So she says, you know, mom, he's not for me. All right, but keep it out there, she's such a fine girl, she wants to respect her parents. Okay, I'll go on a date with him one time. So she comes on the date, and she puts on her ugliest outfit, and her hair is a mess, and she acts intentionally very dull on the date, very boring, very impolite. And after the date, he comes back to his friends, and he says, I just don't get it. He says, everyone talks about this girl like she's the greatest thing in the world, but I don't get it. She's not so attractive physically. Her personality is not anything that they describe it to be. And one of the friends starts to laugh. He says, you're such a fool. He says, do you realize what happened here? She doesn't like you. She doesn't want to marry you. She intentionally made herself ugly because she doesn't want to be with you. Says Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, that's what the Torah does to us sometimes. If we don't make ourselves the right type of people to receive the Torah, so the Torah, you sit there in front of the Gemara, you sit there with the Chumash, right? And the Torah is as boring, it's the dullest date in the world. Right? It's not attractive at all. There's nothing here. It's so boring. And you walk out and you say, oh, you know, why would I spend time? And the Torah is really saying to you, I don't want to be with you. Because you haven't developed yourself to be the right type of person. I don't want to marry you. That's what Shavuos is. It's a wedding. Hashem is saying to us, a person has to be ready to receive it. So that's one reason why sometimes, you know, we don't taste the sweetness of the Torah. But okay, the question that we're left with still is, so how do you get there? Right? How do we make ourselves ready to receive the sweetness of the Torah? So again, I think the answer is you got to go back to the American mentality. Right? You have to learn to break the American mentality that fun is associated with quick, you know, quick fleeting pleasure. Torah requires a melus. A person has to work very hard, sometimes for a very long period of time. And I think that's the answer to the guy who's sitting in the base medrash for years and he's still going at it. He's still going at it because he understands, maybe openly understands it, maybe internally he understands it, but he understands that if I don't work, I'll never get to the sweetness. And he's willing to sit there for a long, long time working and working and working, hoping that eventually he'll be able to tap into some of the sweetness of Torah. Rav Avram Shor points out that the word amelus, which means hard work in Torah, if you amelim b'Torah, amelus is gematria matok. Because if you want to taste the sweetness of Torah, you have to be willing to be an amel. You have to be willing to work hard. The Gedolim worked hard to get the sweetness of Torah. When the Chafetz Chaim was a kid, people were after him. Everyone was after the Chafetz Chaim. The Maskilim were after the Chafetz Chaim. They had no idea that he'd become the Chafetz Chaim. But when he was a young boy, he was very bright. He was very charismatic. People were interested in him. So this Maskil came over to him one time and said, "You Jews." He says, "I don't get it." He says, "You know, you Orthodox Jews, you claim that this is supposed to be fun." He says, "But it's not. It's clearly not. You know, how can you tell me, right? If you work in Torah, Ashrecha Bo'olam Hazeh, V'tovlach Le'olam Haba, it's not true. It's not fun." The Chafetz Chaim said back to him very sharply as a young boy. He said back to him, he said, "You show me amelus, and I'll show you sweetness." He says, you're not looking at people who are really amel. Anyone who's really amel is going to explore, is going to uncover the sweetness of the Torah. He's going to dig deeply into the Torah, and he'll find that sweetness. But you have to at least be willing to make that effort. You have to be able to put in the time. Asei Torah Sachkavad, Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. You know what that means, Asei Torah Sachkavad? We're told, don't make your tefillah kavah. The Mishnah says in Brachos, do not make your tefillah kavah. So Gemara says, what does it mean, don't make your tefillah set? So Gemara says, my kavah. Gemara says, doma kamaswe, if it looks like a burden. So what does it say in Pirkei Avos? Make your Torah kavah. Sometimes the Torah has to be a burden for you. Sometimes you have to sit there and just work and work and work. And it'll take a long time until you get that first smile on your face. There'll be times when you get it right away. They tell a story. I saw a story of Gifter one time was giving shir. And in the middle of shir, he excused himself. He walked out of the room. One of the bachrim was a little more chutzpah, decided to, you know, follow, to tell the Rebbe. So he followed him behind the hall, right? And he saw him walk into one of the side empty classrooms. And he's peeking through, this bachrim is peeking through the keel, and he sees Rav Gifter is dancing. So he says, you know, I have to. It's worth confessing to find out what's going on here. So he confessed to Rav Gifter, you know, I followed you, and I saw what was going on. Rebbe, what was that? He says, I'll tell you, I was in the middle of the shir, and I realized there's an amazing chiddush in Torah here. And I just I had to dance on the spot. So I excused myself in the room, and I went down the hall to dance. So he asked me, he said, Rebbe, why didn't you dance in the shir room? You know? He says, because you guys, you don't appreciate that. You would have thought I was crazy. So you see from the story, there's an Indian to be normal, right? There's a mitzvah to be normal. A person has, or even the Rebbe, right? Rebbe Gifter has to still be normal to the Talmidim. But he says, you wouldn't appreciate that. So sometimes you're in the middle of the, you know, you're in the middle of the shir, in the middle of learning, and you taste the sweetness right away. It's no surprise, Rav Gifter and Telz, right? The founder of Telz was Rav Laser Gordon. The Gedolim used to call him the Oyev HaTorah HaGadol, the great lover of Torah. He loved Torah like no one else. He used to say, and this was the line in Telz, Rav Gifter used to say this line also. But Rav Gordon, you say, Rav Laser Gordon, you say, Ich bin mit Torah, via Shikr mit Bronfen. I'm with Torah like a drunk is with, you know, with whiskey. Right? I can't get, you ever see, Rav Gifter used to say, you ever see a drunkard say, you know, I've had enough to drink? It goes against his nature. So sometimes you get the pleasure right away. Rav Gifter, he's in the middle of the shir and he got it right away. But sometimes you wait a lifetime for it. A very similar story I saw in another sefer. One time a bachur was walking in Lakewood. He was passing, he was in the Beis Medrash Gavoa building, and he passed Rav Aaron Cutler's office. And he saw Rav Aaron also by himself dancing in the office. So he said, he's standing there, he's just watching. The Rosh Yeshiva comes out, Rav Aaron comes out, he says, I need you to get me immediately so-and-so. He names one of the great geniuses in the yeshiva. So this young bachur runs off and he gets this fellow and he comes in and this second bachur is having this private meeting with Rav Aaron in there. And afterwards, the second bachur comes down. The first bachur says, you know, the little boy was watching at the beginning, says, you know, what was that? What happened? He says, I'll tell you why Rav Aaron called me. He was one of the top guys in the yeshiva. He says, Rav Aaron just solved a gra on Choshen Mishpat, Simin Chafches. You can go look it up. Figure out what the problem was and what the answer was. I'll give out a prize. I don't know. I myself have no clue what it is. But okay, if you figure it out and let me know, I'd be interested to hear. He says, Rav Aaron just solved a gra in his notes on the Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat Simen Chaf Ches that he's been working on for 20 years. He was dancing. He needed to. Sometimes a person waits 20 years before, and we're talking about Gedolim, but they had this attitude of a Amelus. They're willing to work through it. They were willing to work through it over and over and over. And eventually you get to the sweetness. You know, Hashem, I have to publicly thank Hashem. He gave me a lot of Siyata Nishmaya throughout the year. And preparing these shirim, I was always finding the right thing at the right time. So last night, I'm still, you know, early on working on this shir, running a little behind schedule, and I was learning with a 7th grade boy at TABC. He came to learn with me. So we're sitting there in the library, and we're learning. He happens to be learning Parshas Maaseh in school. The Masos. We spoke about the Masos last week in passing. Right? Every Jew has to travel his journeys through this world. You know, the different travels that every person has to make to be metakin his soul. So we're sitting there learning, and we came to the following pasuk, source 13. Vayisu mitarach vayachanu b'miska. I happen to have been sitting, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His kindness, for whatever reason we learn in the library. It's the hottest place in the building. I have no idea why we sit there. The Beis Medrash has the air conditioner. Okay, we're sitting there, we're schwitzing. I happen to be sitting within arm's reach of what? Of Rav Matisyahu Clark's etymological dictionary of biblical Hebrew. Right? Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch used to explain words based on similar sounding words. I saw this pasuk and I said, I know what the Vard is. So I pulled down Rav Matisyahu Clark's dictionary and I opened to the word tarach. Tough resh ches. Because I figured it's probably related to the word tarach, tircha. And of course it was. Right? What does the word tarach mean? Tarach with a tough? Right? It means a certain sense of being unsettled. It means a person who's hesitating. A person who's wavering. Right? What's the idea? A person sits down to learn. And he's working through a difficult piece of Torah. And he's totally unsettled by it. He can't solve it for the life of him. And he's working and he's working. And he's trying to solve it. Right, whether it's a Gemara, or it's a Ramban, or it's a piece of Chassidus, whatever you're working on, and you're trying to make sense of it. And you say, you know, big people wrote this, it's got to make sense. And you're working, you're talking, and you feel so unsettled, and finally it clicks. And then you get that moment of tremendous simcha, that sweetness that comes after the amelus. Right? Like the Chazal say, of a statement, we find in Tshuvas Ramah, Ain simcha katarsa sveikos. There's no greater simcha than the moment that a suffix is resolved. You tap into that simcha. All of a sudden, the tarach, right, that unsettling feeling, is achieved through Torah, through the tircha, through the effort. And what does the pasuk say? Again, source 13. Vayisu mitarach, if you're willing to tircha, vayachanu b'miska. You come to the matok. You come to the sweetness. Again, these are the journeys of Klal Yisrael. This is one of the nisyonos, one of the 42 nisyonos described in Maaseh that every Jew has to endure. So again, sometimes, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're willing to work, you'll get the reward. Wow, I didn't realize how late it is. Okay, we're going to keep going. We're going to dive ma'ariv after this. A few more minutes. Romasta. But there's another pshat. There's another pshat. And for a person who's out in the working world, imagine a fellow, a person who loves Torah. Right? A male, a female, whoever it is, someone who loves Torah. And now they have more responsibilities. They're getting married, they're getting a job, and they're no longer able to spend as much time as far as quantity in learning. So we have an amazing vart from the Majitzer Rebbe. Something he had heard from his grandfather, Rav Yechezkel of Kuzmir, source 14. The Divrei Yisrael of Majlis, we'll just read the bolded sections. He says, "Pam echad shol lo chasid echad im laasok b'masumata." Someone came to my grandfather of Yecheskel of Kuzmir and asked him the following question. A chasid who presumably had been spending a lot of time learning. He was born and raised in the Beis Medrash, so to speak. And now he comes to the grandfather of Rabbi Yisrael of Majlis and asks him, he says, "Is it appropriate for a chasid to be osek in business, to go into derech eretz im lo?" It's excellent for a chassid to have a business. If a person says that it's gonna ruin my avodas Hashem to go out into the working world, says the Divrei Yisrael of Majitz, says Rav Yechezkel of Kuzmir, his grandfather really is the one who said it. You don't know the first thing about chassidus. Why? The Gemara says, a person who has Mikra, Mishnah, and Derech Eretz, it's a chuta meshulash, it's a three-ply cord that can't be broken. He explains, if you have three individual strands that can easily be broken, and you weave them together, each one strengthens the other one. So that means the Torah that a person's learning is going to strengthen his business. And the business is going to make his Torah that much better. How does that work? Right, take a look at the next bolded section. V'chein ha-masa u-matan, continuing the source, v'chein ha-masa u-matan, nosein koach v'zchasuch l'limun mikru mishnah. Your working will enhance your learning. Now, I'm learning less. My mind's not focused anymore. This is a tremendous chizik for a person who doesn't have so much time to learn. How does my working help me to learn better? Ki ve'eis shadam osik b'masa u-matan, because when I'm busy working, v'yesh lo eshtokus lumud, and I have a desire to learn at that time, when he comes back to Torah, he's drawn to it. He's so excited to get back to it. The separation causes a greater awakening of love. So where did that love come from? Where was that love born? That love was born in his office. That love was born in his store. Right? While he's with clients, while he's with patients. That was the moment that he acquired that intense love for the Torah, at that moment. Jump down to the next bolded section. He quotes a vart from the Baal Shem Tov and the Kesar Shem Tov. He says, "Pa'amim shebitula shel Torah zu yisoda." Chazal say sometimes bitul Torah establishes the Torah. Shal yedei achila v'shtiya ve'esek b'masu matan. The times that I spend being mavatal Torah, shemizbatal la'adam ilimud haTorah, az nacha neshama miyislavusel u'mischazekas l'shuv l'dveikas yosu elyon. You come back to it so much more thirsty for it. Like Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, thirsty for it. Drink it up. Right? If he shows a bit some as divrei. And he says, that's the pshan in the pasuk in Noach. In Noach it says, Vayishlach ha'orev, the raven was sent out, and it's coming and going. He says, a person was sent, Vayishlach, a man was sent to this world. Why did Hashem just give us all mahava? Why do we have to work for it? Because you'll enjoy it more if you work for it. The amelis brings out the sweetness. So you're sent to this world. Why? For the purpose of what? The orev, for the ravens, for the sweetness. To achieve the sweetness, you have to be sent to this world. But how do you achieve the sweetness? What does it say about the raven? It's yatzo v'shov. The coming and going creates the sweetness. The separation sometimes will enhance the love, which is an amazing thing to think about it. The time away from Torah, the separation from the Torah, gives you the ability to come back to Torah that much more. And this explains a question every single one of us should have. And I apologize to those who heard this var from me already, but it's a shame Yishmuel that everyone has to know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to give the Torah to the world. So he says to Esav, Esav, do you want the Torah? Sure, what's in it? You're not allowed to kill. Okay, that's not for us. That's our midas gvura, that's our essence. I can't give that up. So Hashem comes to Yishmael and says, Yishmael, you want the Torah? Sure, what's in it? Right? Well, you're not gilei arayos, nus. It's off limits. Adultery, right? Immorality. You gotta get it under control. That's not for us. Hashem comes to Klal Yisrael. You want the Torah? Sure. Okay, great. It's yours. So you could say, right, we never asked what's in it, and therefore we got it without any question. Not Sevin Yishmael. You don't ask questions, you get the prize. We had a moon of pshuta. But the Shemi Shmuel says from his father, the Avnei Nezer, he says, that's not good enough. Hashem should have to give us the same Nisayon that he gave them. He says, Esav, you want the Torah? Are you prepared to accept it if I tell you that in this Torah is something against your nature? Yishmael, are you prepared to accept it if I tell you there's something in it that's against your nature? So then Hashem comes to Bnei Yisrael, and they have to endure the same test. So what's the test? What's the thing that Hashem says you have to be willing to do that's against your nature? So the Avnei Nezer says a beautiful verse. He says, Hagbal. We're told that the time the Torah is being given, you have to. There's restrictions. You can only go so far up the mountain. That's against the nature of a Jew. A Jew is always longing for more and more Kedusha. You're telling me I have to hold back? It's against my nature. And the Shem Yishmuel makes it even stronger because he says, Hashem makes, he teases us. For 3 days you have to separate from your spouse. What's the idea? To start falling in love with Hashem. So Hashem taunts you. He says, fall in love with me, but then hold yourself back. I don't get it. Why would you do that to me? So the simple explanation is that Hashem is testing us. It's a test of our faith. Am I prepared to do something against my essence? It's beautiful. It reveals that the essence of a Jew is just, I want more and more. I can't hold back. But I think there's more to it. Because if Hashem is the Makor HaTov, if Hashem is the source of all goodness, passing this test can't just be a test of faith. There has to be something that's good that comes from it. So I think the answer is, Hashem is teaching us, I want to give you the Torah. If you want the Torah to be great, it has to be the Simcha. Says the Divrei Yisrael of Majlis, how do you get the Simcha? By holding back, you get to a greater Simcha. So Hashem is saying, I'm not just teasing you, I'm not just playing with you. I'm asking you to restrain yourself, but you'll see, that will allow you to enjoy it more in the long run. It's an amazing insight. When a person doesn't have the opportunity to learn, that could bring him to a greater simcha than the guy who's sitting learning in kolo 12, 13, 14 hours a day. And I'll tell you one more word, I think that comes out from this yisod of the Divrei Yisrael of Majlis. A tremendous limud tzlus on Klal Yisrael. Today was the last teaching day in school. So teachers like to point out, I'm sure many of us have heard it throughout the years of our lives, teachers like to point out the Medrash, right? That when Bnei Yisrael left Har Sinai, we ran away from the mountain like school children running away from school on the last day. When the bell rings and school's out, the kids run out, they're smiling, everyone's enjoying themselves, it's great. Tosfos quotes this Medrash in Source 15, we'll just read where it's bolded, on the Pasuk Vayis'u, Shinasu mi Har Sinai derech shlosh es yamim, ketino kayotze mi beis ha-sefer, sheboreyach lo v'holecha. The Jews have been by the mountain, we've had enough, too much Torah, we're out of here. Right? The same way. And believe me, that kid on the last day of school, he could be passing the teacher who he's been fighting with the whole year in the hallway, and the both of them are smiling, the teacher's smiling, the kid's smiling. Right? Have a great summer, you know, Mr. So-and-so. Right? And they're both thinking, I can't wait to not see you for the next 2 months. But it's a simcha. The whole building is, you know, filled with that bell. There's a tremendous simcha. But Chazal say in Shabbos Kufta Zayin, it's a chay. Bnei Yisrael, we're wrong. We insulted Hashem, the Gemara says. We turned our back on Hashem. So I want to try to be malami tzchus on Klal Yisrael. If you remember, for those of you who were here, a few weeks ago we learned a letter from Rav Hunder. Rav Hunder in the Pachad Yitzchak, letter 155, wrote to one of his Talmidim, who had written him a letter and told him, I'm doing great, I'm doing amazing. And this was a Talmud where Rav Hutner, in the patient's chair, we spoke about this. Rav Hutner had worked with him, he was patient with him, he worked on him, and he worked on him, and the kid was never, he just never got it. And all of a sudden he writes a letter to his older man, "Hey, Rebbe, you know, everything's really great now." Right? I'm sure that Rav Hutner felt great about that. But Rav Hutner says, "You know what, you just solved the pasuk that I was always bothered by." David HaMelech says in Tehillim, "Lichu banim shimuli, go away and listen to me." Why would you tell someone to go away and listen? Right? Remember this, those who were here, remember this letter? Why would you ask someone, "Go away and listen to me"? You tell someone, "If you want to talk to me," you say, "Please come here, I want to speak with you." Why would you say, "Go away, cross to the other side of the street so I can speak to you"? It doesn't make any sense. So Rav Hutner explains, sometimes when you're too close to something, when you're pressed up against something, imagine I'm looking at a painting and it's right up against my face. This is not a beautiful painting. Take a step back and you'll see how beautiful it is. So Rav Hutner says, "Lichu banim," David HaMelech saying, sometimes in the moment you're not ready to hear. It's only down the line that you finally start to get the message. That's what Rav Hutner says. So he writes to this Talmud, perhaps, you know, you're writing to me and telling me you're doing great and learning now. Maybe it's bechinas lichu banim shimuli. Maybe some of the seeds that I planted long ago are finally starting to produce flowers. But I was thinking, using this yesod, maybe it could be Malamit Slas and Klai Yisrael. Why would they run away from the mountain? Why would they run away from the mountain? They run away from Kabbalah's authority. You're standing at the mountain. You're camped at the mountain of Hashem, and you're running away. I have enough. I got to get out of here. Again, the Pashup Shah, the Gemara says it's a chait, but maybe it could be Malamit Slas. That they said, not only do we want to step back to gain perspective, we want to run away. We're so excited to take those steps back because we know, Vayishlach HaOrev, that when you're sent to this world to acquire the sweetness, Yatzo V'shov, you have to take a step back to sometimes appreciate it. I heard from someone who's a tremendous marriage counselor. He said that, what's the most important thing a quarterback does on the field? Quarterback has a lot of responsibilities on the field. You know what the most important thing they say? I don't know what marriage counselors, you know, experts in what quarterbacks do, but okay. He claims that sports people say the most important thing a quarterback does is that after he takes a snap, he takes 5 steps back. Because until he takes those 5 steps back, he can't see anything. He literally, you have 7-foot-tall, you know, giants in front of him, right? He needs to take his 5 steps back to see the field. Okay, he still needs to know how to throw, he still needs to know how to run, but those 5 steps, taking a step back, gives him the perspective to do what he needs to do. To throw that touchdown and to extract the sweetness and the simcha from the crowd. So it's the same thing with us in Avodas Hashem when it comes to our learning Torah. Klal Yisrael, run away from the mountain because we need to step back to sometimes appreciate the sweetness. That's what the Divrei Yisrael of Majitz is telling us. The Shem Yishmuel in Lech Lecha answers another very puzzling question. And with this, we'll pretty much wrap up. Two more points. The Shem Yishmuel says, you know, the pasuk in Kisavo doesn't make sense. Because you didn't serve Hashem with Simcha, I'm going to bring the most horrific things upon you. How is that fair? How does that make sense? Okay, we still served Hashem, it just was a lack of Simcha. So he explains, you know, again, the Lichat Chil way is that we take the step back ourselves. And we continue to appreciate and be besimcha with our learning. But what happens sometimes if we don't do it on our own and the simcha starts to dissipate? Hashem has to force us to take a step back. He says, essentially, the idea of galus is a mitzvah. It's not a punishment. If you lost your simcha in avodas Hashem, if you're not enjoying it anymore, Hashem says, you know what, the best way I can get you to enjoy it again? I can take it away from you. I can send you out to the workplace, but then you'll come back for Torah in a thirstier way. So Hashem forces us into the galus. He removes the Torah from us. You ever been on NTSY Shabbaton, the kid who's having Shabbos for the first time in his life? The first time in his life he's experiencing Shabbat, and he's loving it. And you're wondering, you know, what does he know that I don't know? It's the first time this kid is, you know, having a Shabbos. And he's so into it, because it's fresh to him. Hashem says there's a danger. Avram was able to appreciate Kedusha because he grew up in a house of Terach. Avram was able to appreciate every bit of Kedusha, but then over time people got used to it. You don't appreciate it anymore. So Hashem sends you into Galus to appreciate it anymore. He forces you to take those steps back. But if we take those steps back on our own, and we look at Torah with a fresh eye, and you come to Shavuos and you say, I'm ready to take a step back and re-accept the Torah with a gevaldik simcha, with an excitement and a joy and a pleasure, so then Hashem has no reason to leave us in this galus anymore. Then we're ready to be freed from the galus. I'll end with a final thought from Rav Hutner, the final source. Rav Hutner says, again in the Pachad Yitzchak, a beautiful letter, he's describing what's described in Mishlei in the 8th parak, how Torah is compared to a toy, Hashem's toy. Hashem has a good time, it's a schok, it's shashuim of Hashem. So Rav Hutner says, what's the difference between shashuim and other types of business that we're involved in? Ma hevdel bein pe'ula shel shashuim l'shar minei pe'ulos. Shanu mamalim behem es olameinu. What's the difference between playing and working, so to speak? So he says, pe'ula shel shashuim mitztayenes b'zeh, shematarasa einena nimtzeis michutzala. When you're playing, you know what the whole goal is? The play. It's not what it leads to. But my kids are building with magnet tiles. I mean, yeah, we built some pretty amazing things. You should come over and check it out. But that's not the goal. The goal is that they have a good time. The playing is the be-all and end-all. Ki im t'muna v'chavuya b'socha p'nima. What you're getting out of the experience is good enough. In yanim shel sha'ashuim eino nogam l'maisa. You don't have to show results. You're not trying to produce anything. Stam pa'ula mechuvenes el anifal mimena v'al yada. Ve'ilu b'pa'ula shel mislach lo hadavar anifal. Normal work requires that it shows results. Playing doesn't require any results. Just have a good time. Nothing. There are no expectations here. So he says, when a child is playing, that's chok, that's shashuim. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, before it was given to the world, was nothing but shashuim. Hashem was sat in Shemayim Kivyachal and played with it all day. But then Hashem said, it's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. It's time to make it Lamaisa. So Hashem gave the Torah to the world, and now it's bound by the rules of Lamaisa. There are halachos, there are things that obligate us to live our life according to it. But says Rav Fudna, you know what the Chiddush is? Even after the Torah was given to the world, it still has an element of shashuim. Yes, you have to learn it to know what to do and to know how to function, but there's still an element of just having a good time with the Torah. And he writes to this boy who's writing to him, who says, I'm in camp, as many of us I'm sure will be heading off to in the near future, some of us at least, right? I'm in camp, and in camp I'm having fun with Torah. And Rav Fudna says that's exactly right. The summer is the time, the last year, you know, here we are, the last year of the season, before we part for the summer, right? The summer is the time to have a good time with the Torah. Not just to be osik in Torah for the purpose of how it's no gael lemaisa. That's very important as well. But to just enjoy it. To lose oneself in Torah. To just be totally engrossed in the Torah for the sake of the fun of it. On Shavuos we know there's half lachem, half lahashem. So the Rebbe of Zusha once said, you know which half is lachem? Which half is for you? We normally think the half for Hashem is the learning and the davening. The half for you is the eating and the relaxing. The Rebbe of Zusha said it's not the way it is. He says the half that's for you, the half that's for you is the davening and the learning. They have to eat for Hashem. He says, no, we have to eat for Hashem also. So we eat for Hashem, and we rest a little for Hashem. That's how we do the Chatzil Hashem. But the Chatzil Lachem is the learning of the Torah. The Shagasari even has a tshuva. He says you can fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha, perhaps, on Yontif with Divrei Torah. Because that's the you, that's the part that satisfies you. So Baruch Hashem, we've learned a lot of things this year. You know, especially those of you who make the effort to come out every year. Going back to our Erev Yom Kippur shir, on transforming ourselves. Shir on the Torah environment, the Lamed Vav Tzadikim Shir, those of you may remember some of these Shirim. Becoming the Living Torah, the Torah Math Shir, Chayasara. And then we learned a tremendous amount this year. So many different Shirim. The Shir on Chanukah, on tears, storytelling, Ashrach HaPratis, Ayin Hara. So many things we had the opportunity to learn together. And hopefully much of it was Lamaisa. We took things from it. We learned a lot of things from it. Right? Elisha Ben Avui, we learned things from these things. But hopefully we also had a good time. Right? We tapped into the Shashum of Torah. That's what Shavuos is all about. The fun and the enjoyment that a person has with Torah. And we should be zocha that Rav Fudner's bracha to this young boy, yes, study the Torah l'maisa, but also enjoy it should come true by us. So Mirtz Hashem, you know, we should meet up again in Yerushalayim. But if not, Mirtz Hashem, Elo, we'll be back here if they let us in again. And we should all be zocha, Mirtz Hashem, again, to a Kabbalah this Shavuos, with a simcha, with a real sweetness of the Torah. And I wish everyone a good Shabbos, a good summer, and a good Yom Tov.